Exodus chapter 26 is where we will primarily be this evening. Exodus chapter 26, I'll read a bit of it and then we'll go through it. In Exodus 26, concerning the curtains of the tabernacle, and it's the structure of the tabernacle as well, it says, "Moreover, thou shalt make a tabernacle." Now, a tabernacle is a fancy word for a tent structure. A tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine twine linen and blue and purple and scarlet with cherubims of cunning work thou shalt make them. The length of one curtain shall be 8 and 20 cubits and the breadth of 4 cubits, and every one of the curtains shall have one measure. 5 curtains shall be coupled together, one to another, and 5 curtains shall be coupled one to another. And thou shalt make loops of blue on the edges of one curtain, from the sledge in the coupling, and likewise thou shalt make the uttermost edge of another curtain and coupling to the second. 50 loops shalt thou make in one curtain, and 50 loops thou shalt make in the edge of the curtain that is in the coupling of the second, and the loops may take hold one of another. And thou shalt make 50 tatches of gold, and couple the curtains together with the tatches, and it shall be one tabernacle." Well, you say, whoa, I'm going to try and simplify this for you. I think it's amazing the instructions that the Lord actually gave how this was to work. But the tabernacle was a portable tent. It would go and it would be set up. And then when they would go some other place, it would go and be set up. It was 15 feet wide, 15 feet wide, 45 feet long in a rectangle, and it was 15 feet high. We'll see a little bit later, probably not this message, but the next message, there was a wooden framework at the sides, the top and the back. The front was different, open, so the priest could get in. It was divided into 2 compartments. It was divided into the holy place, and the Bible calls it the most holy place, and we call it the Holy of Holies. Now, the holy place, the first one where the priest would come in daily and minister, was 30 feet long and 15 feet wide. While the Holy of Holies that the priest entered once a year was 10 cubits or 15 feet long and wide and high. So it was 15 by 15 by 15. It was a huge cube. Over the top and the back of the sanctuary, there were actually 4 layers. The innermost layer that we'll look at first right now is finely twined linen. The second layer was woven goat's hair. The third layer was ram skin dyed red. And then the top layer was badger skin. It's very interesting, as if you can see, some of you have color and some of you have black and white, but you can see the layers laid out for you. The curtain served as a large tent. The tabernacle was overreaching, and they were pegged at the edge there. But then it was surrounded by a large courtyard that we'll be looking at when we come to the future. So what I want to get into now is the 4 layers of curtains that covered the tabernacle. And the one that was on the very bottom of the heap, if you would, looking at it from the top, it was made of finely twined linen. There was 10 curtains all together that were hooked together, and they were to be woven in blue and purple and scarlet, and they had to be embroidered in or woven in cherubims, and that's what it says in 26:1. "Moreover, thou shalt make a tabernacle with 10 curtains of finely twined linen, and it gives a purple and blue and scarlet and cherubims and cunning work on them. And so the cherubims, it's very interesting, could only be seen from the inside. You couldn't see them from the outside. Only when the priests went into the holy place, or once a year when a high priest went into the Holy of Holies, that was a different thing. It could be seen then. Verse 1 tells us 10 curtains. Verse 2 tells us that they're 6 feet wide by 42 feet long. When the long edges of the 5 curtains were joined together, they formed a curtain that measured 30 by 42. Now, the best thing that I could show you there with the attaches and how they were hooked together, the hooks were gold and the attaches the loops were blue there, but there wouldn't have been that much of a gap. It pretty much looked like one curtain, but there was gold hooks and blue attaches, and they were joined close together because there was 50 gold attaches, or hooks if you would, on each edge, it tells us in verse 6. And the joining of the two sets of 50 with 50 blue loops, it tells us, of 4 and 5. Thus, they were connected and they measured 60 by 42, 60 feet wide, 10 curtains, 6 feet wide. And that enabled the curtain to cover the top of the tabernacle, 45 feet long, 15 feet high. 42 feet in is the length of the curtain, and they covered the tabernacle it went across and it didn't touch the ground. So that was the inner one. And we'll talk about the significance of that. There is significance to that in a few moments here. Then we have the goat's hair curtain. If some of you were on Mount Nebo with me, when we went to Israel, there was that very dark, almost black tent there. That was a Bedouin tent, and that was the color of a goat's hair. It was very dark or almost black. So, interestingly enough now, there's different curtains here. There's 11 curtains instead of 10. And the goat's hair curtains are described in 7 through 13. And goat's hair is very dark, black, and it is weather resistant. And as I mentioned in here, because I saw the tent on 3 occasions my own self, the Bedouins make tents out of goat hair yet to this day. They were longer than the inner curtains, with 2 sets joined together with 50 brass attaches and loops. It made them 66 feet long. So it covered the whole tabernacle plus 15 feet at the back, and that was folded over at the front. And you can read all about that in Exodus chapter 26 and verse 12. And then we're not done yet. It's very interesting how God does things. Over the goat's hair curtain were 2 other curtains, ram skin that was dyed red, and hides of badgers. Now, I'm not sure exactly what that is. It's an interesting Hebrew word, but what we see here is that no dimensions are given for these coverings. And so when you put it all together, there were 4 layers, and as a result, it was a very dry, very dark tent. The only light came from the lampstand described in the previous chapter. And then oftentimes, because I was at the exact facsimile of the tabernacle in the wilderness at Timnah, I visited there, and the winds pick up pretty heavily. And so the roof of the tabernacle, if you look at the picture on the front again, the roof was fastened to the ground with cords and pins. To know about that, you'd have to read all the way to Exodus chapter 35 and verse 18. It tells you how it was fastened there with cords and pins. So in the driving rain or in the wind, it would not, the roof would not be dislodged. Now you say, why do we need to know all that? Well, I do think that there are important spiritual applications here. The covering depicts how the glory of the Lord, and the glory of the Lord is signified by the intertwined blue and purple and scarlet, was veiled when he was on earth. We didn't see, for the most part, except on the Mount of Transfiguration, you didn't see the glory of the Lord. And the only people who saw the glory of that underlying curtain was the priests who were in the holy place or once a year in the Holy of Holies. It reminds me of Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 2. It says, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and a root out of dry ground." And then we see this, "He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." That is why, really, I don't care for the pictures of Jesus. I don't have a picture of Jesus in my house. 40-some years ago, I took down all the pictures that were in First Baptist Church because Jesus was portrayed as a very attractive man, long hair, and I don't believe that he had long hair. It's a shame for a man to have long hair. But nonetheless, Jesus looked like the average Jewish man. I can't understand how so many people think that Jesus is white. They've never read the Bible. He was olive-skinned. He looked like a Jewish man. And so when we look at the coverings there, the coverings depict the glory of Christ, but nobody saw that except the priests when they went inside. I'm reminded of Philippians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. It says, "He made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion of man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross." To look at Jesus in the flesh during his first coming, you didn't recognize anything extraordinary. He looked like a Jewish man, a Jewish religious teacher. Only those who talked with him and saw him through the eyes of faith could see his glory. To look at Jesus Christ in the flesh during his first coming, you'd just say, another Jewish guy. However, John chapter 1 and verse 14, we see the truth when we see it through the eyes of faith. Isn't it great? "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." And then parenthetically, "when we beheld his glory, as of the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Again, as we look at this in comparison to the tabernacle, those standing outside and looking towards the tabernacle could only see the ordinary covering of black skins, the dark skin on the top, but those who entered by means of the altar of sacrifice and the laver, they enjoyed the beauty of the interior. We'll see in the next message the gold-covered boards and the lovely ceiling woven together and held together with gold patches and the gold objects that were in there. The seven lamps of the candlestick were there. The curtains were finely twined, blue, purple, and scarlet, depicts Christ's righteousness as a man. And he was the God-man. He was the King of Kings. He was the Savior. And that is what the priests saw when they walked into the tabernacle, they looked, and up above their head is you have the cherubims, and it's finely woven. They were surrounded by the glory of that, and that pictures the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number three, the number of the curtains is 10, according to that's talking about the curtains with the cherubims on them. And we see that in Exodus 26:1. And I think that certainly is a reminder of the Ten Commandments, which Christ kept in perfection. Jesus had no other gods but God the Father. He never bowed to any idols. Satan tempted him, and Christ told him to get thee hence. He never took God's name in vain. He never desecrated the Sabbath. Instead, he loved God with all his being and came into the world to do his Father's will, not his own will. He loved obeying God the Father more than his daily food, if you read John chapter 4 and verse 34. And as for the other commandments, he honored his father and mother. He didn't kill, didn't commit adultery, steal, bear false witness against his neighbor, covet his neighbor's good. Instead, he even loved his enemies. And if you can imagine it, there on the cross of Calvary, those who crucified them, he said, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. Humanly speaking, and being a sinful man, I would have, if I could have, called fire down from heaven and toasted them. But not our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He made himself poor that his neighbors might be made rich. You can look at 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. Number four, the goat's hair curtain and the ramskin curtain signify the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Leviticus chapter 4, verse 24, just the next book over. In Leviticus chapter 4, down in verse 24, it says, and he shall lay his hand upon the head of the goat and kill it in the place where they kill the burnt offerings before the Lord. It is a sin offering. The goat was a sin offering. Likewise, rams, the skins were dyed red, point to the ram as a sin offering. Turn with me to Leviticus 5. Now, in verse 15, if a soul commit a trespass and a sin of ignorance in the holy thing of the Lord, he shall bring for his trespass unto the Lord a ram without blemish out of the flocks, with the estimation by shekels of silver after the shekel of the sanctuary, for a trespass offering. The red color naturally points to the blood of Christ, which was the basic of all offerings. Without the shedding of blood, there's what? No remission. No remission. It was the ram that God supplied as a sacrifice in the place of Isaac, if you think all the way back to Genesis chapter 22, 11 through 13. And so thus the goat's hair and the curtain of red ramskins picture the atonement that Jesus Christ made for us. Sinners have no acceptance for God except there be a sin offering. I think back of John the Baptist, behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. The whole building was covered with fabric, God could have no tabernacle among men and could not display his glory and his beauty in the midst of them unless his dwelling place proclaimed in every part the fact that sin had been put away. There was a perfect sacrifice for sin. I love that little song. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. The final covering, badger skin. It's very practical as well as symbolic. Now again, I tried studying that Hebrew word, and I do know this. While I don't know exactly what badger skins were, they were tough. You say, well, why were they tough? Because Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse 10 says that they used that skin for shoes. So it had to be a tough skin. It had to be weather resistant to protect and cover the tabernacle because it did rain. I remember one time when I was out there in the middle of the desert, the wind whipped up, and I'll tell you, sand can be brutal. It really can cause a great deal of problems. And so the covering skin that they made shoes out of was weather resistant and protected the tabernacle. Number six, the pins and the cords that fastened the tabernacle to the ground. It talks about the security of Christ's salvation. Man, aren't you thankful that I can't figure it out. I can't figure it out. There's a whole group of people who teach salvation by grace through faith, but then they teach that you can lose your salvation. How can you have... I'm serious now. How can you have eternal life if you could lose it? But as many as receive him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. How can you not be a son or a daughter of God? How can you lose that? Because I have a son and I have two daughters. And while they were mostly good in their growing up stages, sometimes they weren't, but they were still my sons or my daughters. And so I'm just saying that the ropes and the pins show us that our salvation is secure in Christ Jesus. Isaiah 22:23 says, "And I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place, and he shall be a glorious throne of his father's house." Boy, I'm thankful that he's enthroned in his father's house, and my salvation isn't based on me. It is based upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." We're there. Now, having said that, you want to make sure that you are genuinely saved. If it was just a conversion of convenience, a 1, 2, 3 pray after me, I'd be very careful about that and want to make sure to examine myself, as Paul said, whether you're in the faith. But once you're genuinely in the faith, you can't get out of it. Because of the nails that pierced Christ's hands and feet and the blood that was shed, he laid the foundation of salvation for us as sinners. And I'm just praising God for that. He will bring God's kingdom eventually to this for 1,000 years. And he'll bring a new heaven and a new earth. And nothing can stop God's plan. Of the increase of his government, as Brother Stringer mentioned this morning, there shall be no end. Of the increase of the government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. I like that song, "We Have an Anchor to Keep Our Souls." steadfast and sure as the billows roll, fastened to the rock that shall not move, bounded, safe and sure in the Savior's love. Every promise God has given is yes, yea, and amen. Be it so. Every promise. In the book, The Tabernacle, the author says this: the nail driven down into the place of death, there bruised and made aught him that had the power of death, and having this secure foundation, the nail has become the strength of all of God's building. All rests on him. All hangs for support and sustainment on him. And he, Jesus, is the beginning of the new and glorious creation, which shall endure forever. Aren't you glad that you're a part of God's eternal plan? Praise God for you. I'm going to stop there. We're going to look next time we're together. I'll be doing some special birth stuff on the Lord Jesus Christ, but we'll look at the framing system, a very unique framing system that makes the walls of the tent, the tabernacle, very, very secure. So I hope that you'll...